Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
All right, well, we have a lot to talk about today. Not only Bravo related, but a little personal story that we wanted to share.
Yeah, you're fascinated by my pain.
I'm not fascinated. I'm mortified and terrified.
So Eric and I went to an adult skate party in Brooklyn together with some other friends.
I mean, and by adult, we mean it was for grown-ups, not like an adult-themed one.
That would have been so much better.
That would have been so fun if it was like a leather party.
Like a fetish party, but there's also roller skating.
I mean, it was Lady Gaga and Madonna
themed,
kind of
yes.
disco-themed, so eras of Madonna and Gaga could go into that sort of adult leather, whatever maybe.
Okay, so it's this roller rink, but it's not like the wooden ones I remember. It's concrete.
Yeah, well, it's a pop-up.
Not concrete. It's pavement.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it was a pop-up.
So it wasn't necessarily at a properly designed roller rink.
Right. Everyone's talking about, I don't know why we're doing this. Like, the last time I went skating, I sprained my wrist. Da-da-da. Like, everyone's giving their horror stories. And I'm like, oh, like, I mean, I've fallen, but, like, nothing bad ever happened. So Aaron and I go for a spin around the rink. We're on our maybe third spin, and I fall, and I land in such a way that my left arm pops out of socket.
Completely dislocated.
Yep.
Like she was off balance.
Now, you're like, right, I was askew.
You were askew.
Okay, so this has happened before because it first happened to me in college, and once you have something dislocated, it's much more susceptible to happen again. So it's happened to me like 10 times in my life, and it always goes right back in. So I'm standing there, and I'm just like, I just got to wait for it to get back in. And then, like, it's not going back in, and then I'm about to pass out because the pain is so bad. But all the friends are stopping, like, are you okay? Okay. I'm like, I'm fine. Because, like,
you're just like, keep going, keep everyone.
Because the worst thing in my life is for people to make a fuss over me.
Yeah.
So I'm just, I know, like, it's totally fine. I'm good. I'm good. And then it just, like, continued to not be good. And
it wouldn't go back in.
It wouldn't go back in. So Aaron had to take me to the ER. The doctors tried three times to put it back in. They couldn't because it was like my body was in so much pain. It was resisting and I was screaming bloody murder. And so eventually they gave me two Percocet, did nothing. Then they're like, well, we're going to put you under conscious sedation, which is ketamine.
Oh my God.
So yeah, then they were able to put it back in. I had a great, as soon as I went back in, I'm fine. I'm back to like, yeah. It's all good. I even worked out this morning. Like, I'm all good.
I mean, the whole time I will say you were in great spirits and I think I was taking it worse than you were because at that point when you fell, I hadn't put on my skates and gotten out onto the floor yet because it was taking a while for everyone to check out and get all their things done or whatever. And I was a little nervous because I haven't gone skating since I was a kid. I'm okay at ice skating, but I was still a little nervous because everyone said it's actually a lot harder than you think and rollerblading's easier and all of that stuff. So once I saw the condition that Megan was in physically, I like was like, I'm not doing, like, there's no way I'm going out there.
It was very scary. It was not great.
It was great though because afterwards we did all go out and we were like DMing you and texting you and DMing Aaron, just like getting updates along the way. Like as we progressively got drunker throughout the night, I think you progressively got more medication from the doctor.
Uh-huh.
So we're all like taking shots of whiskey, pickleback shots.
We're all on the same page.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Just different locations. But I'm glad you're okay and it wasn't worse. But everyone just, you know, be careful out there.
Yeah, don't roller skate.
Okay, other than that, we did have a little bit of fun last week.
Yeah.
At the Summer House season 4 premiere party.
That was fun. Okay, yeah. The whole cast was there and they were sort of posted up in this booth area of the party once the show started. And so you got to like watch them watching themselves, which I found fascinating. Loverboy was featured heavily.
Yes.
Everett was there from season 1. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was great. Darren Karp was there, too, Andy's assistant. We've had her on the show before. And, yeah, it was great. It was funny to watch the cast watch things over because we talk about it on the podcast how sometimes people hear what other people say in their interviews and they don't know because this is the first time they're seeing it. So there was a moment where I think Hannah called Kyle a dick because he was being a dick at that first dinner. And he like looks over, he's like, hey. But it was great. It was good to see everyone having a good time. It was at this like really cool kind of high end sports bar type place called Bounce, which is in Chelsea here. But yeah, it was fun. What else? The Real Housewives of Atlanta after show premiered this week.
Oh, yes. I watched some this morning, actually. You guys should go to BravoTV.com, the Bravo app, or Bravo's YouTube channel to check out Nene, Kenya, Candy, Portia, Cynthia, Eva, Tanya, and Marlo chatting all things season 12.
And if you guys caught the mini preview that came out before the Atlanta After Show premiered, it was Tanya and Portia talking about the cookie lady and how she says, Paul, with like her tongue. It's
she
so
does
funny.
Say it with her tongue.
It's so awkward. And just the way Portia and Tanya talk about it is so hilarious. So I think it's featured in one of the longer clips too, but so funny.
Also, Bravo is going to be at New York Fashion Week covering the shows of Project Runway winner Sebastian Gray, mentor Christian Siriano, and judge Brandon Maxwell. Head to BravoTV.com to get an inside scoop of their newest collections as soon as they hit the runway.
Plus, Lisa Rinna and her daughters also walked in a show yesterday.
Yes.
That was really cool.
That was amazing.
Okay, but after all of that, we have a lot of shows to discuss. We have the premiere of Shaz,
yes.
Which, holy shit.
Yep.
Below Deck Reunion Part 1, which also, holy shit.
I know.
And Real Housewives of Atlanta Cookie Lady Showdown, holy shit.
We were having a hard time figuring out what we were going to talk about this week because there were so many, like, oh my God,
yep.
You know, moments while watching these shows.
Right. Plus, we're going to have interviews with Reza Farahan from Shaz, so that's a really good one. And we have Hannah Berner and Paige DeSorbo from Summer House.
And we'll be wrapping things up with Rose and Thorn.
Okay, the opening of Shaz reminded me very much of the way last season of Beverly Hills premiered, where it was showing you what's to come.
Yeah.
Between Lisa and Kyle. We saw their big throwdown. You came here to call me, I'm a liar, you know, all of that sort of stuff. It was kind of the same thing here. We saw what's going to be coming this season between MJ and Reza.
But also like a look back at their friendship over the past season.
I know.
Very sad.
Yeah.
I try not to get too far ahead, even if we have access to episodes, because then I get confused on what's actually happening versus what I already know to be true.
Right.
But this was literally one that I couldn't stop. So I've seen like 8 episodes.
Yeah, you were saying you went way ahead.
I went way ahead because at the end of each episode, I was like, well, I have to find out what happens next or how this, you know, ended. Oh, it's so good.
So good. I can't wait to hear your interview with Reza, too.
I love Reza for really just opening up and telling as much as he could without giving anything away to fans. Like I say in the interview, I'm praying for him and MJ. I know.
Well, speaking of Reza, I have to say at the beginning of the episode, too, when he's with Adam and they're in the backyard and they're trying to like get it all together or whatever, it reminded me so much of me and Danny and like the way we are in those kind of situations. Like when we're cleaning the house, when there's like an activity like that where, and then like neither one of us really want to be doing it, but we have to do it. And you're just like, babe, oh my God, no, honey, babe. Like,
yeah,
you know,
who's the Reza and who's the Adam?
I don't know, because I think it depends, because Danny is very clean. Like he likes to deep clean. He's messy. Like, he can leave things around, but in terms of, like, cleanliness, he's, like, way better at it than I am. So I think maybe in that respect, he's a little like Reza. Like, when they're getting ready for the party, Reza wants it. I think Reza wants it sparkling clean, right? And Adam is sort of like, eh, whatever, I'll just, like, tidy up over here. That's me prepping for a party. I'm about to tidy. So it looks clean at first glance. You go deeper, it's another story.
See, Aaron tidies more often, so he says that I don't do anything, but in reality I'm the only one who actually cleans.
Interesting.
Like, you can't just forget about the area under the couch. It doesn't work, you know?
See, it's like, for me, it's out of sight, out of mind. I'm like, I don't know, like, I'll just like try to get the broom under there as far as it will go, and then that's it.
I remember someone telling me a story about how they went to this person's house and their house was immaculate, like every inch of it was just sparkling clean. And then they went into the kitchen and opened the microwave, and it was disgusting. So I always think about that.
Oh, my God. Danny always yells at me about the microwave.
You just need, you need it all to be clean. You
right.
don't want that moment.
Well, I wonder if that's also like, is that a cleaning person who just like forgot? Because if it's immaculate, that might be professional.
Mm.
I don't know.
okay, Alexis Bellino. Do you remember she got yes. in?
Oh my God. Oh God, that's awful. What do you think of Nima's veneers?
Okay, did you ever watch Friends?
Yeah.
The episode with Ross right. and the teeth, like, oh my God, they are that white.
It's quite alarming.
And we have this video on BravoTV.com, this interview with him, and he said he actually wanted them whiter. And the dentist was like, no, that will be creepy. It is just like Ross's teeth.
Yeah, it is. If you put a black light up to it, they would glow without question.
Without question.
I think if I were to ever get veneers, I would want them to be like a little bit more of a natural color.
Mm.
But I think, you know, all that matters is that Nima likes them.
I feel like every season of Shaw's starts in a similar way, where when you're catching up with everyone, Gigi's always not talking to someone.
Yep.
And Mike is always a new man. Like, he is the Jax yeah. of Shaw's, because it's like he's always reformed each season.
Yeah. He seems like he's in a pretty good place right now. I really like Paulina. Mm-hmm. I think she's giving me really good vibes from the very beginning, giving me a little bit of like a Kardashian vibe.
Yeah.
And the way that she speaks, kind of like just the way her inflection and stuff kind of reminds me of like Kim or Chloe or something.
She reminds me of Lady Gaga.
Oh, interesting. Like brunette Lady Gaga?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that too.
Like Persian Lady Gaga.
All right, well, we seem to stan Paulina already because we're comparing her to like our favorite people.
I think I also just take her more seriously, because if you remember his girlfriend last season,
yeah,
she just seemed, she's so young and just, I don't know, Paulina has kids. Like there's... she's an adult.
She's making him step up his game.
Yeah.
More than I think he's had to or wanted to in the past.
Okay, can we talk about Naked Jenga?
When Russell was out of town, I was here having a board game night, and it was strip Jenga.
What do you think about this rumor?
I am not surprised if it did happen, because I feel like gays, you know?
No,
these,
I don't know.
These things can happen at a gay party.
The naked Jenga or the cheating?
Well, the naked Jenga. Like, yeah. I feel like when you get a bunch of gay men together and there's drinking involved, somebody brings up this crazy idea to do naked Jenga and it might happen. How naked everybody gets, who knows? I also don't understand the rules of naked Jenga. Is it like if you knock it over, you take your clothes off? Or is it every time you take one out? I don't know.
So I've played like an adult version of Jenga, like at a party
where like something's written on each thing,
and like there were a lot of like take off an article of clothing.
Yeah.
So I'm familiar with the concept.
Right.
Just for me, I was like, that's such a specific rumor. Like, yeah. You know, so it's like, oh, Adam cheated. Okay. You know what I mean? When
right.
when you add those little details and you're like, oh, well maybe I don't know.
It was a little unclear to me if Reza maybe, not that he knew about it, but he didn't seem totally surprised when they brought it up to him, but I'm also
know.
Like, maybe he was just trying to really like save face
I
and
agree.
Not show his emotions.
So I do ask him in the interview, like, I'm
okay.
like, exactly what was going through your mind. So you'll have to listen to that.
Obviously, I don't want to tell you tonight. That's so rude.
I want to know and I want to ask, of course. Either we'll be together or we'll be apart, but either way.
100% is probably lies.
Whatever it is, I'm glad you guys are telling me. Thank you so much. And I'll get to the bottom of it.
I don't know.
I don't know.
And we already know that they were in a bad place at the end of last season. Like they said at the reunion.
Yeah.
That, you know, divorce had come up. I don't know.
You have to be aware of where the information is also coming from. And I don't really know about, you know, Destiny's friend Allie. What is his motivation for sharing that information, especially with her, hoping that it would then get back? Like, I don't know. You kind of have to question where the message is coming from a little bit and what that intention is. But I think it's shady that this party went down at a time when Reza was not in town, you know, at their own home. Like that seems kind of weird, regardless of whether anyone cheated or anything bad happened. Like, it's just like, it seems sketchy that it happened at a time when Reza was not available.
And what Reza said was that this whole conversation with Mike and Destiny, the part that made him pause was when Destiny said, you need to ask MJ about this. MJ knows all about it.
Right.
You need to ask Maris. Maris knows.
But I think we'll get into that next week.
Yeah. I also have to say, weed seems to be doing Gigi some favors.
Right?
She was a completely different person when she walked back into that room after going out for what they wrote as a marijuana cigarette, I think, yeah. Right? Old Gigi disappeared and new Gigi came back.
Obviously, you would never smoke now. It's illegal here in New York. But
right.
When you lived in LA, do you ever take it in that way where you're just like, I am so mad, I'm going to smoke one?
No. Yeah. It was always like, it was just so embedded in the culture that yeah. It was just like what you did at parties. It was what you did like anytime, really. But it is medicinal for those reasons, you know, for yeah. People who have anxiety or whatever it may be. And it seems like Gigi has something that riles her up. And whether it's anger management issues that she has, whatever, it's obviously doing her good. And when you go to get a medical marijuana card in California, I always went to this guy, Dr. Bob. He always wore like a Hawaiian shirt. He was hilarious. But he, you know, you go in and you say, what's wrong? Oh, I have trouble sleeping. I have this, I have that. So you are prescribed the card, you know, for a medicinal reason as much as they all pretty much know why you're there. So either way, it's helping Gigi out. Last but not least, R. Kelly.
Right.
It's a subpoena. It's got to be about my ex.
R. Kelly?
From what I had heard is that it wasn't going to necessarily be so out there. Uh-huh. Like it was going to be, oh, she has this ex. He's famous. It was, they were going to dance around the subject a little bit, but apparently we're going right into it.
Well, and I think I was surprised because I thought she like casually dated him. It wasn't like, I didn't realize it was a relationship.
Yeah. I mean, there's
Yeesh.
A lot there. That I'm Yeesh. Curious about.
So I got the chance to interview Shahs of Sunset's Reza Farahan. Since this new season is so explosive, I wanted to know if he needed a break from the group after filming. I also asked what it was like seeing MJ at BravoCon and if he thinks their relationship can be repaired in the future. Plus, he shares what he thinks of the cheating rumors about his husband, Adam. Here's that interview.
What up, mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2, where my hoes at?
Reza, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. A bitch is happy to be back.
I don't even know where to begin because this season is insane.
Beyond.
It makes me wonder, after a season like season 8, because, you know, I'm in meetings where producers sort of fill us in on what happens and fans can sort of get a taste of what's going to happen from the super tease. But it's so explosive. What do you do once filming has ended? Do you just like take a minute to decompress from this group?
First of all, I didn't need a minute to decompress after season 8. I needed a month to decompress. I am not only a Bravo celebrity, but I'm a huge Bravo-holic. I've seen every season of every Housewives franchise. I watch almost every single show on Bravo. And I can say, my unbiased opinion is that this season will be the most explosive season of any Bravo show in history. It's more dramatic than Teresa's table flipping. It's more dramatic than Bethany Frankel and Jill Zarin's fallout. It is next level nuclear. And it's just an action-packed season. Lots of fun, lots of tears, lots of drama. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I have to agree with you. I've seen a fair bit, and it's just like, what? Every episode.
Totally.
Well, let's start with this premiere episode where this sort of bomb is dropped on you at your housewarming party. Now that you've watched the episode, do you think Destiny handled it correctly?
Hindsight is 20/20, and I, looking back, wish that Destiny had hit me up, taken me to coffee, sat me down for lunch, invited me for a drink and said, listen, bitch, there's some shit going down. I just want to fill you in. I'm looking out for you. I'm worried about you. And not use the housewarming party, because everyone knows from season 7 that Adam and I were working on our house. It took us a year. We took it down to the studs. We literally tore half the house off. We spent a fortune. It was a little dream come true for us. And I really wanted the housewarming party to be a night to celebrate with family and friends. And it turned out to be the night of all hell. And literally, it was the first domino in a series of dominoes that led to the demise of my friendship with MJ. And, you know, I don't even know that Destiny understood the gravity of what she was involved in.
But you think MJ did?
MJ 100% did. And I think that the audience, as they watch the season play out, will be able to form their own opinion of what happened. The crazy thing now is it doesn't even matter because we're all hurt. We're all in a state of loss. Everyone lost. It was just a huge situation that in my mind could have potentially been avoided had everyone, including myself, handled it differently. I know it sounds super cryptic. I don't want to give a lot away because it's so crazy and unbelievable. And I couldn't even believe it while it was happening. It was like being an FBI agent and trying to put puzzle pieces together and figure out what was going on in my life. I was losing my mind.
Yeah. But what would her motivation be to kind of go after your relationship? Like, did something happen between season 7 and season 8 that we didn't know about? Or do you think it was maybe just like it wouldn't be that big of a deal? Like it would blow over?
I think it was twofold. I honestly think that at times, MJ doesn't realize that there are people and situations that come into your life and you have to protect the people you care about from those situations. MJ just assumes, oh, Reza's strong, he can handle this, or oh, Reza will nip that in the bud. But she had been nurturing something and watering it and taking care of a seed that literally led to the demise of our relationship. And my expectation was that she would be like, you know what, Reza's my best friend, I'm putting an end to this now, as opposed to her thinking that it's something that I would be able to just cut off at the pass.
Yeah. When Destiny and Mike sit you down at the housewarming and tell you about this rumor, what immediately went through your mind?
I love that you're asking me this question because it was twofold. Initially, I was thinking, wait, did Adam cheat on me? Is Adam having an affair? And then in the end, Destiny put a cherry on the sundae and she said, but you need to talk to MJ. And as soon as she said that, it was like, wait a minute, why would I need to talk to MJ about a potential rumor regarding Adam having an affair? What does that have to do with MJ? And as I started to peel the onion away and get to the core, I was like, oh my God, this is worse than Adam having an affair. I wish Adam had played naked Jenga. That would have been the best case scenario.
Yeah.
Now looking back, I wish Adam had played naked Jenga.
Crazy.
Yeah.
The good news is at the party, you and Gigi sort of make up. How are you guys today?
This is going to sound crazy. If you had told me 5 years ago or at Asa's event where she literally ran and almost attacked me that in a few years from now, Gigi would be my rock and Gigi would be the only castmate after Tommy came and vandalized our home to say, listen, I know you're afraid. You are packing bags and coming to my house for a week and I'm going to take care of you guys.
Wow.
Gigi stepped up in a way that I had never expected. I had never seen. It brought tears to my eyes and I love and adore her so much that she really made one of the most difficult times in my life and my marriage with Adam a little bit easier. I owe her a lot.
Yeah. Do you feel like she's already changing with this new baby almost here?
1,000%. You hit it right on the head. She has completely changed herself. She's been doing work behind the scenes that she hadn't been telling us all about, dealing with her anger management, dealing with a lot of issues to get to a better place where not only emotionally and spiritually, but physically, she'd be in a place to welcome a baby. And I can't wait to be there for her and try to reciprocate a little bit of how great of a friend she was to me in one of the darkest times of my life.
Yeah, that's so sweet to hear.
Yeah, really. Like, I'm all about giving props when props are due, and she really, really deserves it.
Yeah. I feel like Mike came into the season two sort of in a different place. Like, he's sort of wifed up, and he's excited to be a stepdad. What was your reaction to that?
It's really nice to see Mike in a relationship that actually makes sense with someone who he's compatible with someone who clearly loves him and he loves back. Very different than any relationship that we have seen in the past. And the fact that Paulina brings kids to the equation is a beautiful thing because it has transformed Mike and it's made him softer, gentler, and hopefully more dedicated to the relationship. I think it's a beautiful thing because, you know, it's no secret that he cheated on his ex-wife and they ended up getting a divorce. I think that because she has kids, he's more invested in the relationship. It's not just doing her dirty. It would be doing the kids who love and adore him as well dirty. So he's more, not more, he's, it seems like he's all in. And I don't feel like he's willing to fold his hand. I feel like he's going to see this thing through.
Yeah.
I'm very happy for both of them.
Well, on the topic of kids, Adam sort of, you know, says to you in the premiere, like, no, I'm not really interested in kids right now. But he is a surrogate to butterflies, which I find very sweet.
He is a surrogate to butterflies. He is Mother Earth. He composts everything. He's got my mother, who's in her 70s, composting. He's got my sister composting. And then they give us their compost to add to our pile. He's such a great guy. He's really dedicated to getting to the next level in his career. And it's ironic that he said to me that he wasn't ready because obviously as things started to go downhill with MJ and I was in no place emotionally or mentally to even consider having kids.
Where are you guys now?
We are rising from the ashes of, you know, the demise of the Reza and MJ relationship. We are a stronger couple. We're communicating better. If there is a bright side to MJ and I falling out, it's that Adam and I were forced to communicate a lot more. MJ was my go-to. First phone call of the day, first text message of the day, calling multiple times. She would give me advice. I would talk to her about my relationship, as would Adam. And so she was like our go-to person. And when you take that away, there's such a void. And I still needed that. And luckily, because of therapy and having a husband who really wants communication, it's forced me to open up a lot more and share with him a lot more. And so it's brought us a lot closer. And I think that in the very near future, we will start entertaining the idea of starting our family.
Nice. I have to imagine you and MJ were forced to see each other at BravoCon.
We were. I realized that the first interaction I would have with her would be at the Watch What Happens Live BravoCon extravaganza, and we were all backstage at the theater, and I walked up to her and I said, "Hi, MJ, it's nice to see you." And I had just gotten my teeth done. I was on cloud nine, and she looked at me and said, "It's nice to see me, is it? Is it really?" And I was like, okay, not the time, not the place. And I turned around and I walked away. And the irony is, later, after we were seated in the audience, like in the bleachers on stage, Mike turned to me and said, "She's the one that started all this shit, and now she doesn't want to be friends." And I looked at him and I went,
Is all of her anger focused on you, or is it everyone at this point?
I don't think it's focused on everyone at this point. I think she definitely has a lot of anger towards me. And the funny thing is, and it's not funny actually, the sad thing is, you know, she was pregnant. She was going through something. And as it turns out, you're going to see that she didn't have the love and support when she needed it. And I'm not going to say too much more on that, but it wasn't just from me because I felt some sort of way. I felt like something was going on. I couldn't put my finger on it, but by the end of the season, I do put my finger on it. But as you see, you know, everything play out, you'll see that, wait a minute, why wasn't everyone else stepping up? Were other people sensing something as well? And you'll be able to follow that too. So to answer your question, it's such a, like, I can't even believe it. I feel like it's a Dateline exclusive where people are like, you know, this kind of thing never happens in our town. Like, I never thought it would happen to me. Like, you know, I feel like, God forbid, I'm, you know, talking about a murdered relative. Like, I'm in disbelief. I can't believe this happens to other people in other places. It doesn't happen to me in MJ. But it did.
Yeah. Without getting into specifics or giving anything away, is there anything you want to tell fans ahead of time? Like, is there any part that you felt you played in the demise of this friendship?
Of course. A fan reached out to me on Instagram and said, would you do anything differently? And my answer was, I would do everything differently because I know what the outcome is. And I hate the outcome. So if I could do things over again, would I do what I did? Absolutely not. I would do everything differently in the hopes that I wouldn't lose MJ as a friend. And I did my best when I realized something was amiss to remove myself from the equation. And because of one of my friends who thought he or she might know better, I was put in a situation to prematurely deal with everything. And that led to the explosion and a domino effect, which then led to Tommy showing up at our house and calling me and threatening my life and calling the police and restraining orders. And then it just got so big and there were so many other things to deal with that our friendship became irrelevant to both of us because I had a husband who was afraid. He felt like, you know, could Tommy show up again? And we got very scared and we started to just want to feel safe and secure in our own home. And our friendship wasn't a priority anymore. And the bigger things got, the less focus there was on repairing the friendship and the more focus there was on dealing with the fallout of everything.
Well, I feel like people are going to watch this season and still, no matter what route that you guys get back together, do you think?
Obviously, my route is that we get back together. My prayer is that we get back together. I pray nightly that God heals my heart further, heals Adam's heart, because Adam is not in a place where he wants to have a relationship with MJ or Tommy or Vita. And I don't know that I'm ready right now. I'm still very hurt. I feel very betrayed, but it's getting a lot better. I used to be very angry, and I'm not angry anymore. I'm just sad, and I feel a sense of loss. And my prayer is that, you know, God or whatever higher power they believe in heal MJ and Tommy to a place where after the season airs and they see everything I said when I was angry and in the moment, because the crazy part is the cameras were there in real time. So you got my raw emotion in the moment. And I don't feel that anger anymore. I just feel love and loss. And I hope that because of time, because, you know, they're new parents, that somehow their hearts are healed. And after the season airs, after the reunion, we can start a dialogue about starting from a new, you know, ground zero and building up from there.
I'm going to pray for that too.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. And it's not all bad. I want to stress that the season has...
No, of course. You guys are hilarious.
A lot of fun, a lot of joy, and there's a shift in relationships, but there's a lot of beautiful moments as well.
Below Deck.
Oh, my God.
I was so excited for this reunion part one. I've just been excited in general to see how these men of Below Deck are going to answer for themselves.
Yeah.
This reunion did not disappoint. However, some of their responses did.
Right. I mean, it really was a situation where it seemed like everybody, all the men at least, were there to apologize for something.
Yeah.
And they pretty much at some point got around to it. But some of their initial reactions when they were confronted with some of the things they did were not so good.
Right. But before we even get into those apologies, the whole Simone thing was pretty crazy, just in that I would never want to be told, but you were excellent at laundry.
Right.
Like over and over that was said in a way that's just like, it doesn't, that's not great. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I remember my dad said this once, and I don't know if this is advice anyone should actually follow, but he once said, you never want to be too good at getting someone's coffee.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
And it just feels like she was put in that box of like, well, that's what you're good at, so we'll keep you there. And I don't know, and just the talking about the sexual harassment from that charter guest and how Kate's like, well, I've seen worse. And it was just like, ugh.
No, I've seen worse behavior from other charter guests over the years. She certainly should not have to deal with that, but I knew I could handle it.
Well, and Simone called out money talks in this industry. And I think that translates across a lot of different industries, unfortunately. And just with the current climate, with everything going on, it just feels a little icky that it wasn't handled in a bit of a different way by everyone on board. And, you know, to be like, I've seen worse. Well, that doesn't make it right in any sense of it. But yeah, it seemed like Simone was also just professionally willing to step up more, and she wanted to step up more. And it's not to say that laundry doesn't need to get done, because on a boat that size, that is something that needs to happen. But she wanted to learn. She was willing to grow. And you can't fault her for the experience that she had, because you did hire her based on that experience. But obviously she wanted that opportunity to grow and be able to experience more and do more and then be able to walk away from this experience with more knowledge. Can you imagine if at the end of a job that you had to sit down with everyone and like talk about what happened? Like, that's what they're doing. As much as this is a show, it's like they were professionals together. And, you know, how many times do you think of an email or something you get from a boss or someone higher up and you're like, oh, what a bitch, you know? And like, imagine if that was shown to them.
Well, I just think about even in how I do run into former coworkers, and not all of them I liked or had a great working relationship with, but would never confront that because what is the point? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously for the purposes of Below Deck, it's very entertaining so glad we get to get it, but I would never be like, yeah, you know, you were a real bitch to work with. Like I just,
right. Well, I mean, the industry that they're in also is fairly small. A lot of people know each other. A lot of people are connected to each other somehow. So even just from a professional standpoint of like, what if you need a recommendation? It's like, well, if you're caught on camera calling your boss a bitch, like chances are you're not going to get a good recommendation.
Well, and then I was even just thinking about how at the reunion, and I'm sure for Vanderpump, it's a little bit like this too, but it's like, you have to sit down with the person who may or may not hire you again.
Yeah.
So, like, are you really allowed to speak your opinion? But Ashton sure did.
Oh, my God.
When he asked Captain Lee, when's the last time you worked on a yacht outside of the show?
Yeah. I think he asked Kate first, and I was like, oop, shade. And then he asked Captain Lee. And I was like, oh, my God, now he's coming for Captain Lee. Like, this is wild.
And then I did six.
When last have you worked on a motor yacht in the real industry, in the real world?
About 4 years ago.
Oh, okay. And yourself, Captain Lee?
For the last 35 years.
No, win lost.
Win last?
Mm-hmm.
Last year.
And I think he was trying to prove a point, but it also didn't work.
Yeah.
They were both like, no, we've worked on other boats. Like, we have done other charters. Like, this is not all we do.
Right.
And then he kind of made a weird comment that sounded like he was potentially threatening legal action.
Yes, like, because...
Like, Andy, this is all hearsay and rumors. I'm not working on my girlfriend or my girlfriend's best friend's yacht. Okay. So what they're saying is untrue.
Okay.
And if they're going to carry on with this type of defamation of character, there's going to be an issue. Unless they can bring me hard evidence that I'm working on my girlfriend's yacht,
okay,
or my girlfriend's best friend's yacht,
okay,
then, it's just lies.
The fact is he's working on a yacht. So.
And by the way, it was such a stupid thing to get your feathers ruffled about. The idea that he has the job he has right now because of his girlfriend, like some connection to his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Is that the worst thing?
I mean, no, but it was also not even close. Like, when they started to explain it, I got lost in how it was,
and
like somebody's
like, it was like how Andy said, does it matter? He's
right.
Working.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that the point?
Yeah. It just didn't even make sense. And I think it just fell apart as they were trying to explain it. But I was in that moment when he came for, you know, Kate and Captain Lee, I was like, oh, damn. The knives are out, as they say on gay Twitter.
Who did you feel like was the most aggressive?
I really got uncomfortable with the conversation between Brian and Courtney.
Yes.
I think he was getting a little aggressive, but trying to rein it in.
He is so calm.
Yeah.
And the fact that below the surface is this person who can text his ex and be like, you're a cold-hearted woman. Like,
right.
How dare you say these things? Like, to the point that she had to block him.
Yeah. And I think there was a noticeable shift in Courtney during this episode than the girl that we saw on the show. And I think you can tell she was really kind of rattled by this whole situation and having to confront him like that in that setting. I think it was really tough for her to revisit those emotions and everything that she's been through since the show, because usually you see her and she's a little bit more like, I don't care, and like doesn't really give a fuck. But like, she seemed really affected by this.
Yeah.
And having to relive it all. I mean, and Riley is a fiery woman. We know this. We've had her on the show. We've seen her now this is the second season we've known Riley. She was even getting involved in like mediating the situation between Brian and Courtney, because I think she felt like Courtney was nervous and uncomfortable. So she felt like, you know what, I'm going to jump in and come to her defense, and especially up against Brian, because he really did hurt her.
Yeah.
So I was glad to see Riley do that, but she was also getting a little like,
yeah,
aggressive.
So the Kevin of it all in this reunion, I felt like he did not do a good job of taking ownership of how he responded to the "you need to step it up" charter guest.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I thought he was wrong in that situation, and I'm surprised he doesn't look back and see that.
Yeah.
But then there were other things that I do feel like he apologized for in a real way. And I like that Kate said to him, you're a really good chef, and
yeah,
you cooked good meals for us. Because when someone just starts knocking every single thing, it's like harder to take it seriously.
Yeah.
But when you can say, hey, I respect you for this, but I don't approve of this, it carries more weight.
And maybe those should have been more of the conversations that she and Chef Kevin had throughout the season. Like, if they had still approached each other from a more positive standpoint, like, they even say when you're a manager and you manage people underneath you or whatever, or coworkers, like the Oreo cookie technique. Have you ever heard of that? Where it's like you do compliment, something positive, like whatever. The middle thing is like the criticism or critique or whatever. And then you say like one more positive thing. So you kind of coat what you're confronting them about with positivity.
Right.
Which I think that is a better approach. But in this type of work environment, like to Kate's point, at one point in the show, she's like, you never know what's coming next. You don't know what's going to happen the next 3 minutes. You don't know what's going to happen the next 3 hours. Like, it's kind of a whirlwind experience from start to finish. So there's not always time to have those kind of conversations. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Next week, we're having a walk-off.
Yeah. Lee's mad.
He's pissed.
He just seems mad, like, in general. I just felt like he came in hot.
Yeah. I will say, Abby, great to hear that she and her husband are doing so well. Because I think we weren't really sure how that was going to be. Text message proposal.
Yeah.
But
they're doing well.
It worked out. I interviewed Summer House's Hannah Berner and Paige DeSorbo. They discuss what it's like being in the Hamptons home while being in a relationship. Paige relives her romance with Carl Radke last season, and they both share their opinions of the new cast members, Jules and Luke. Plus, Hannah relives Kyle Cook's blow up at the dinner table on the very first night. Let's take a listen. Guys, we're here with Hannah Berner and Paige DeSorbo from Summer House. What's up, guys?
Hi.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for coming. Okay, so I want to talk about Paige. You came into the season dating Perry. Yes. Hannah, you were seeing Armand, mm-hmm. not official. Mm-hmm. What was it like for you guys coming into the house with somebody back home?
I feel like it was kind of nice. Like, you feel like we're living our lives during the winter. We're not just waiting around to, like, fuck dudes in the Hamptons in the summer. So, like, we were, like, proud that we had guys we're talking to, and you don't have to choose one or the other.
Right. I feel the exact same way. Like, I was a little nervous coming in because I just know how rowdy we can get.
Yeah.
But it was nice knowing, like, someone back in New York was, like, wondering what I was doing.
Right.
Also, Paige had been talking to Perry the previous summer. Like, she would FaceTime him all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, who's that guy you're talking to? You guys sound like best friends.
Like, you're dating. Like, that's my friend. Ew.
And she's like, I wouldn't. And then
you knew him for a while, right?
Yeah, we were friends for, like, 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So her relationship had a lot more, like,
it felt comfortable. It wasn't just, like, I sprung it on some random boyfriend. I was like, and I'm leaving for the whole summer.
Right.
Bye.
Yeah. Where I kind of did that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, see ya.
Like, I just started seeing my guy, and then I was like, and he would go to Sag Harbor sometimes, mm-hmm. but, like, your relationship was a little more sturdy.
Right.
Did you feel nervous, Paige, coming in because of your history with Carl?
I actually didn't.
Okay.
Like, it wasn't a factor, really. And I feel like that's, like, a testament to my relationship with Perry. Like, any other guy, I feel, would be like, oh, you're gonna, like, sleep in a house with, like, some guy you used to like. But it was like, oh, it's Carl.
Yeah.
And also, like, we hung out with Carl during the winter when Perry and I, like, kind of were always together, and it's normal.
And Carl was seeing Kirsten until, like,
right,
January.
And, like, yeah, and, like, Kirsten and Carl, like, came to my birthday party also in November, and it was, like, totally
I think
fine.
Because you didn't have sex. That
yeah. That's true.
Actually was a good thing.
Yeah.
You made one good decision. Good for you.
So I think you also revealed
keep your leg closed once.
You revealed that there was no penis touching.
No,
so
there was
the
none.
Pantry was all just kind of like makeouts.
It was like so PG
yeah.
and like, you know, good solid fun.
Grow right. up.
good solid wholesome fun
wholesome
in the pantry.
Fun. It was like a 50s movie. You know, it was just like we kissed. Because I just didn't wanna,
yeah.
you know?
Like, right.
Well, I don't have an explanation. I just, like, didn't feel
no,
like it.
No, there was an explanation. I think it's, like, you don't want to give yourself physically to a guy who's not giving you anything emotionally.
Right.
And you're not just trying, especially with someone in the house, you don't just want to have sex.
Why buy the cow when you get the milk for free?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay, mom. Moms love that
quote.
Had
a boyfriend for 1 year. I'm no mom.
All right, so season starts off, too. We've got a lot of Kyle and Amanda. Have the two of them set a wedding date yet? Do you know?
Yes.
As of now?
Yeah.
Yes, they have.
They set a wedding date.
We are.
I don't even know what it is. I couldn't even tell
I
you.
I couldn't tell you.
Spill gossip.
It's been confusing. And also, like, I'm so not good at weddings. Like, I try not to get too close to people so they don't invite me to be in their bachelorette party.
I don't blame you.
It's been, and, like, I've never thought of my own wedding. So during the process, I'm like, I don't know how hard it is, but you guys are having a tough time.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you expect everyone from the house to be invited?
To the wedding?
Yeah.
Yes, I would.
I don't think.
Hannah's like, absolutely not.
Hannah's like, well, I'm not going.
I was like, I will not be.
I don't think past cast members will.
No, I think, like, our current friends that live in our house
yeah.
right now, yes, I
we're
would assume they
we're
would all
We're such
be invited.
A family. We're such a crazy
yeah.
family.
I mean, everyone has, like, an uncle at their wedding that they don't really want to invite, but they're there.
Of
yeah.
course.
Because
your mom makes you invite
right.
them.
Am I that uncle?
Yes.
You're the uncle, Hannah. Sorry.
You're the drunk uncle that gets handsy.
Am I hot?
So the very first sit down, the wedding comes up, and you two are giggling at the dinner, and Kyle is not pleased.
High crime in our house.
Why was it such a touchy subject?
I think, well, first of all, let's set the scene. It's the first weekend we're back together. We're all drunk.
Right.
And it's an 8-person table. Like, there were a lot of conversations going on. And Kyle likes to have, like, be, like, the judge with the, what is that thing that
judge
uses?
Gavel.
Paige, look at you.
Yeah.
It sounded right. Yeah. You said it confidently. But like he wanted to have the floor, and he was like very serious about talking about him and Amanda's wedding, and it was going on for a while, and I didn't. And when he said, most fiancés are not as involved in wedding planning as I am. Paige,
she lost her mind.
It started with me just being like, why is no one asking about our wedding? Like, we were so excited we were together again.
Right. Yeah.
And he was going on and on. And then I finally like let out one of those laughs, and he lost it to the point that I was like, what is actually going on? Because you can't be that mad at us. And Carl's like, you guys need to apologize. And we're like, for what?
Yeah.
Do you want me to? I laugh because I think it's ridiculous what he was saying. But like it was in a gentle way. Like we weren't like.
I thought we were having like a casual conversation.
Yeah. Right.
I didn't know it was like so serious. And everyone in our house has a really big problem where like if they're speaking, no one else can speak. And like we grew up in Italian households where like if
everyone talks at the same time,
does not matter.
Do you see right now we're listening to each other and talking at the same time?
Multitasking.
I say if I wait for you to finish speaking, that means I'm not listening to you.
Right, that's a good point.
That means I was spacing out, and then I go, "That's crazy."
And it's not like we were talking at full volume to each other. We were courteous and we whispered.
Like, I mean, we were whispering, we were giggling, and like the hate that was coming. And when he slammed the table, you see me and Paige, we were giving each other looks, and it wasn't a look like, oh my God, Kyle's talking. It was looks like he's going to snap. And this is so funny that we're just trying to have fun. And I remember I kept laughing instead of crying. Like I could have cried and be like, Kyle, why are you being so mean to me? But I kept laughing because I'm like, I'm having fun tonight and I don't care what. And then they were blaming our generation. Like it's a generational thing that we were being rude or whatever, when I'm pretty sure yelling to Paige, fuck you for no reason was.
And they said we were born in 93. We were
born in 91 and 92. Yeah.
First of all.
So get it right.
So get it fucking right if you're going to be mean to me. One last thing. Clearly I'm heated about this. I'm like, I'm going to be nice. Towards the end, he ends his cheer in the end of the episode going like to being young and acting young. And I was like, that sounds like a generational thing.
Right. That's a good point. Well, I mean, I think we see in the first two episodes, you know, there is some tension between Kyle and Amanda. And obviously it stems, I think, from what happened last summer.
Yeah.
So do you think they're still dealing with some of those emotions and some of those perhaps trust issues?
Totally. I don't think like just because they got engaged magically, everything goes away.
Yeah.
I think it's just like making their commitment stronger. But like you still have to work through those issues. And I mean, Amanda probably had some like PTSD coming back in the house thinking like, oh, last summer my relationship was like blowing up.
Yeah.
And now this year, you know, how could she not think about it?
Right.
For sure. And I think Kyle actually said it really eloquently. Like he owned up to it in the episode when he was like, these last couple months have not been easy for us. And like, it should have been a walk in the park. But also, it's never going to be a walk in the park.
Right.
But Amanda, she made me laugh when she was like, he makes me do chores and tells me I'm lazy. Like, I don't want to fuck my dad.
Yeah.
But like,
that
we didn't. We didn't. I know her dad's hot though.
I knew
I would have sex with her dad. Her mom, but her mom we and I laugh Frank. About it. We love Frank. We love Donna.
Yeah.
But we also were very close to Amanda, and you see how like I think she gets kind of in an awkward place where like she agrees with us and is mad at Kyle, but then also like she obviously loves Kyle so much.
Right.
So it was a very very
she's always
awkward
like
first dinner.
Yeah.
Very awkward.
What was both of your initial reactions to Carl, I believe it's referred to in the show as finger blasting Lindsay?
I hate that word so much.
That's the technical term.
Right.
That's the doctor term.
That's in the dictionary, and their pictures are right there.
The
too.
Urban dictionary,
yeah.
At least.
we weren't as shocked. Like, we knew something was going on.
Yeah.
We didn't know that would have been it.
The details of the hookup were truly terrifying because when you said in the interview, you couldn't even stop. Basically, they finger blasted, which sounds so aggressive, and I hate that. The fact that they didn't kiss while he was blasting her with his finger was what we were freaking out about.
Right.
Like, that's so funny to me.
Yeah.
And I couldn't stop picturing it, but I didn't know what I was picturing it. Like, where was each person laying? Where were they looking? I need to know details.
I would like to know more. Yeah.
I would like to know more details. But so we were just stunned.
They were like being very like cutesy. The first episode was so weird because they've never been like that. They're very like buddy buddy. She yells at him for doing the same mistakes all the time.
Right.
It just seems kind of like, did he wake up overnight and you forgot who he was? And did it's he wake possible. Up and forgot who she was?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, even in the first two episodes, while they're kind of exploring this new relationship, they keep referring to each other as best friends.
They keep saying, I love you.
Well, yeah. And so it's a little bit like,
but like
where
you and
are
Perry
we
were best friends saying, I love you.
True.
So whatever. That's.
Did you just call me out?
Dude, I forgot we were. I literally, I mean.
She's like, damn.
Wow.
Who's interviewing who? Yeah, I mean.
Do we have to talk about something?
Well, do you think.
We'll
like,
talk about this later.
Do you think being friends is a good way to start a relationship, or should sort of the romance come first? I mean, talk about your experience.
Well, also, Paige and Perry started by like having a hookup, and then and then they were like, it didn't work out. I'm sorry, I don't want to speak for you. But.
No, I mean,
tell the
story. I was there. I was with her.
No, I think it's great to be like have that friend foundation. And but mine and Perry's friendship was very different than like Carl and Lindsay's friendship. Yep. Like Perry and I never screamed at the top of our lungs at each other. Like,
but also
ever.
You never fully dated each other, like multiple of each other's friends. Like maybe a kiss or two.
Right. And so, like, for them to go from, like, last summer to, like, sometimes they would, like, fight, and then all of a sudden it was like, hey, we're going to, like, finger each other. Not finger each other.
Well, as far as we know, honestly.
I feel like Lindsay and Lauren were close, like, me and you were. I mean, their relationship is different, but, like, it would be so weird if I was, like, dating Perry in 2 years.
Oh, right.
It's weird.
The murder that I've just witnessed in my brain.
Honey.
I'm not like calling Armand and being like, let's hang out.
I mean, you thought he dressed well.
He does dress well.
But my thing, even with Armand, like we started off kind of as friends, but I was always like, are we gonna have sex? Where like Carl and Lindsay, I don't know if they had sexual tension. To be honest, I think they both were just at a point where they're both single and
ready to
something
finger.
Something happened. Ready to finger blast.
I mean, can someone else finish this sentence for me?
It's like Mad Libs.
So, Paige, give us an update on what's going on with you and Perry now.
So, literally the same thing. we're still dating. We currently don't live together. We don't have plans of moving in together as of yet. Mm-hmm. And we're still just like, you know, getting along, figuring it out. But I'm not like rushing anything.
Yeah.
My biggest fear used to be like, oh my God, am I going to get engaged and married before 30? And I realized that that's like...
You were scared of it?
Yeah. And I realized that's not a fear at all. Now my biggest fear is really like marrying the wrong person. Yeah. So I'm way more focused on that. And I feel like that's just like an age change of like maturity.
Yeah.
Like I used to think like, oh my God, if I'm not married and like about to have a baby by 30, I've like... That's the worst thing ever.
Right,
and I
realized
that's like...
I think as you grow, you realize like being single is so much better than being stuck in the wrong relationship.
Yes. Absolutely. And so we're just still like dating and like...
I literally tell Paige all the time, I'm like, if you're going to spend the rest of your life with him, that's a shit ton of time. There's like no rush.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my God.
And like Sheena freezer eggs, you know, we can call her person. Swipe
I'll
up.
Like Angelina Jolie and adopt a few kids. I'll be fine.
Right. Oh my God, that's so hot. Can you adopt me? Thank you.
I see that your nails are done, which you mentioned on the show. He warned you. He said, always have your nails ready to go. So is there conversation about an engagement or are we sort of, is that on the back burner now?
I haven't brought it up.
Okay.
I don't think there would be an engagement until we moved in together.
Okay.
And I currently am not ready to give up my adorable studio apartment where all my clothes live. So I'm not ready to do that. So like we haven't talked about getting engaged, even though he is 10 years older than me. Don't mean to sound like a bitch or selfish, but like not a factor in like my decision making. Yeah. But I definitely think about it. But like as of right now, I just enjoy like dating, living my life. And like seeing what happens.
So Hannah, you had a like little drunken heart to heart with Paige too about being like, why do you feel this pressure to have this like perfect life? Because when they're asking you at dinner, you're like, everything's good, everything's great. So where do you think that pressure comes from? Is it like a generational thing?
I think that Paige and I are both type A women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we, I think also as the only girls in our family, like we both have strong moms who like are pushing us to like be successful, and we are very driven people.
Yeah.
And I think we both get along because we build each other up. But sometimes you want to just like be like, hey, like I'm struggling right now. Yeah. And I also think the show, we've gotten such positive reactions from people of being like, you guys, your friendship, or like Paige, your outfit is so great, or like Hannah, you're so great at tennis. Just kidding. People get annoyed that I play tennis. everyone's like, stop playing tennis. But it's like, when your dreams start to come true,
yeah,
and your career is going well, sometimes it actually is more pressure.
Yeah,
on you.
It's also like this is like not bad on my parents. This is like a great parenting thing, but they almost like fucked me up in the opposite way, where like they love me so much.
Yeah,
and like even if I get out of bed in the morning, my dad's like, oh my God, yes. You should run for president.
Right.
Like, did you wake up before 9 a.m.? So, like, I have this unrealistic expectation, yeah, of, like, everything I do is perfect. And so when it's not, I'm like, oh my God, right, who am I?
I'm falling apart. I'm
like, and I do think generationally, a lot of millennials have parents that are like, you're great, you could do anything. And that's, yeah, why a lot of us, including Kyle, want to be entrepreneurs. But it makes us do great things. But then it also, you have to check yourself sometimes and be like, I'm human and it's okay, right, that I'm not perfect.
Do you think, right, that pressure also stems from social media? Like, not only are you guys on the show, but there's also generationally, we're all dealing with Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and, yeah, all of those things.
Yeah. And like people say whatever they want to you. And like,
yeah,
you know, like there's, everyone has insecurities that you think about, and but you're like, oh, that's just me being crazy. No, yeah, one like sees that. I'm just being critical. And then like one person will point it out and you're like, oh my God, everyone thinks that. I was right. Like,
I knew my fingers were weird.
Did you see when my fingers went viral? Because it was an amazing
Her alien fingers.
It was, no,
wait, what?
Her, she has the longest, skinniest.
I have very long, skinny fingers.
Me too. I always say I have alien,
but against
hands,
a green they're, screen,
they're elegant. They are elegant. That's what my mom
creepy,
said.
Creepy.
But with the green screen, it literally looked like I could claw you through the TV.
It looked like scissor hands.
They're adorable.
So now we're not friends anymore because I can't be associated with that.
Instagram definitely. And like you do one thing and they're like, I think you should post more of this, or I think you should, and I'm like,
also the con,
shut up.
Yeah, I know.
What other generation could you like know exactly what everyone else is doing at any moment? Google someone, Instagram them.
Right.
And so that comparison of like when you're feeling good, there's always someone that's doing better and whatever in your head you think better is.
Yeah.
So it's really getting the right perspective of like, I like to say we're all pieces of popcorn. And we pop at different times.
Oh, I love that.
Wow,
thank you.
Beautiful.
I like to think I'm still a kernel.
Yeah, you're a cute little
to
kernel.
Pop.
Exactly. And everyone, they pop at different times, even though it's the same temperature.
Right.
I'm a scientist.
I love that.
Thank you.
Sounds like the title of your autobiography.
I'm writing it. Watch out, Stassi.
Let's talk about the new cast members. What were your first impressions? Let's start with Jules. Paige?
Jules, I thought, was very sweet and like cordial, nice. Very, like, she was quiet. Like, I didn't really...
I, like, realized now after watching the first episode, Jules, when I met her, so bubbly, so polite, yeah, so sweet. Not, like, she's Midwest, and she's so polite and cute, but, like, always down to party. Yeah. Dresses better than Paige, so that was awkward, and I'm just kidding.
Never.
How dare you?
Ever.
You, Paige was nervous for a second that there was, like, a new friend in the house, and then she was, like... Whatever.
Well, she was also like a little bit obsessed with you, like in the first two episodes, like at the party. She's like, oh my God, I love you. You're perfect.
I was jealous. I was like, what's wrong with me?
She was just like excited to have girlfriends.
Yeah,
yeah.
And she had just moved here. She didn't really know anyone. And I think that her and I were the most similar in the,
yeah,
house. Like, we cared about what we were wearing. Like, we wanted to like post our outfits on Instagram. We're not like seeking out drama, but like if you had a problem with,
yeah,
either of us, like we will stand up for ourselves,
yeah,
but at the end of the day we just wanted to like chill and
Paige
have fun.
Just crying going, I'm not perfect. And Jules is like, honey, you're so perfect, you're literally perfect.
Everyone needs a friend like that.
Friend.
Yeah,
yeah. I was like, I had to cry in the bathroom for a second. She's like, okay, I'll come. What are you wearing?
What are we wearing to the bathroom to cry? Yeah.
So like she was, we got along a lot more than I like thought we would, because I typically don't, even though I was new last year, I don't immediately like warm up to people.
She's,
like, I'm
just
very shy.
Shy,
which it comes off like I'm very bitchy, but really I'm just so nervous about what you think about me,
right,
that like it's like comes off like I'm very standoffish.
Yeah, I have to like explain to people when Paige and I, they're like, does Paige hate me? And I'm like, oh my God, no, she...
She's in her head. She's
no,
like
she
a
thinks
whole
you,
nutcase.
She, like, you hate her.
She, yeah, was, she like, didn't like her outfit today. It was her own problem.
That's ruined
that
my day,
ruin a day
multiple times. Yeah. Like, when we meet someone, Hannah's like, can you, like, smile? I'm like, I guess. Yeah.
Do you see my jeans?
Okay, first impressions of Luke. Let's start with you on this one, Hannah.
Oh. It's when Luke first walked in, I was like, okay. As on those, I was like, this is going to be fun. Like, I love flirting. And if you're above 6'2", I don't care if you look like you got hit in the face by
a dump truck.
A dump truck.
But Luke certainly did not.
Luke is just like a physical specimen. Yeah. And then he has this like weird little accent and he's kind of fun to poke fun at. And then he was like laughing at all my jokes. That's what got me.
He
was like laughing really hard at like, honestly, my easy stuff.
Yeah, he didn't even like hear. And he was like, ha ha.
My lowbrow
like,
stuff.
You know what you're doing, bro. Right. I know exactly what you're doing.
Right.
And I didn't realize it, but I watched the first episode and I was like, wow, we clocked each other hard the second he walked in.
Yeah. And there was a lot of flirtation. Even you guys went golfing and there was like still some chemistry. So how did you balance that chemistry with Luke with knowing that you had Armand back home?
I feel like...
like a champ.
That is true.
Absolute champion.
When Paige, you're so funny. Okay, this is the thing. If you're not married, I wasn't exclusive with Armand, but it was right. a guy I'd been talking to and I wanted to see where the relationship was going. But if there's chemistry, like smack you in the face with someone else, you're not going to like ignore it. Armand,
right. It's not a crime to talk to two guys. There's a whole TV show about 25 girls wanting to get a rose.
Yeah.
That's like true. It's not a crime but to also, like, talk to multiple people.
If I was like making out with him or having sex with him, that's a different thing. Right. I was kind of just exploring it and having fun with it. Because also this is New York City.
Yeah.
Like I flirt with every single dude that looks at me.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's yeah. just like a hobby.
She's not dead. No. She's dating.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it really is dating, but I like to tell people I'm seeing someone because, like, I was working on that relationship with Armand.
It sounds so PG, like, she's going with him.
Yeah, you know, we were like going steady.
Yeah.
Did you report back to Armand, like, what was going on?
I like, actually was very upfront because he was like, okay. How was the
hey,
weekend?
By the way, there's this really hot guy I'm probably going to have sex with. What's up?
Are you down for a threesome? Like, let me know.
Yeah, I remember being like, yeah, this is guy, he's flirting with me so much.
It's so annoying.
I was like, I keep being like, stop, keep going, stop. But I was like, yeah, this new guy, he's cute, he's fun. Because also I'm like, Armand, step it up. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Like, because that's, life never stops just because you're dating someone. Life right. keeps going. Hot right. guys slide in your DMs all the time.
All the time. I'm like, you're testing me, bro. Right. You are really testing me.
The universe
me right
is
now.
Testing me. But it's true. And when you're with the right person, you're not going to get distracted by like a hot dude. And yeah. I believe that.
I agree.
Did you get distracted, Paige, by Luke at all? Was there a moment you were like, wait a minute?
I feel like we appreciated him like an art.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can appreciate a hot guy. Like, when he took his shirt off, I was like, okay. Like, I definitely
You're
looked.
You're not dead.
Yeah, I'm not blind. But he's actually not my type. Like, I don't typically go for, like, blonde hair, midwest. Like, that's so Hannah.
Yeah.
You know, like, and he was, like, very nice to Hannah and, like, you know, just was like, whatever, I'm down with whatever. And I like someone who's like a little bit obnoxious, okay. like Carl. I like someone who walks in and like causes a real like crazy scene.
We have the opposite taste in dudes. And I say
yeah,
like, that's why we actually get along so well.
That's true.
Like, I just like tall, like...
She doesn't even care what
actually,
he's saying.
She likes tall. Yeah. Tall. That's the requirement.
I like blue eyes. And I tend to go towards like, I like a guy that looks like you take a punch.
Yeah, and big. I like a guy who's like kind of like an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. you like him a little pretty but hairy.
Yeah, I love like a Persian.
We're describing Carl yeah. here.
Yeah, I know. Carl was so weird. Carl was tall, but then like Carl and I butt heads sometimes.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't blame you. Well, to wrap up, let's actually play a little game called Marry, Fuck, Kill.
Okay.
We're not going to use Kyle because like he's engaged, the whole thing, like Amanda, whatever.
Yeah.
This is for both of you.
Okay.
Jordan, Carl, and Luke.
Uh-huh.
Page.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Jesus. Lord have mercy on our souls.
Oh, my God. So hard.
Fuck, marry, kill.
I'm fucking Luke.
Okay.
I'm killing Jordan.
Okay.
Sad. Do I marry? I guess I'm marrying Carl.
I
feel like he'd be really nice, though, like, if we were married.
Right.
And I feel like he'd be a good dad. Yeah. I'm going to marry Carl.
Okay. Hannah.
Oh, gosh. Okay. A lot of emotions happening.
Yeah, it's like a lot to take in.
Yeah, I would I'd have sex with Carl.
Yeah.
Cause like he's tall and
yeah,
I'd tell him
sweaty mess,
not to talk. So much sweat.
Just FYI.
We yeah. sweat so much.
It'd
but
be
like
so aggressive.
Carl's handsome.
Yeah.
When he's not being annoying. And I would kill Jordan, even though I feel like we're good friends, but like I need a little bit of hotness in the bedroom, and I feel like we don't have any sexual chemistry.
Yeah.
And Luke and I actually are like we're very good at like downtime together. Like we can chill for hours, just mm-hmm. like
and not
me
speak.
Staring at him.
Right. It's more than that.
Like so, yeah. and so I would marry Luke. Ew.
I only listen to Luke like when he's talking and his shirt is off. Like yeah. if it's on, I'm like, I don't care.
He would literally like, come up to us at the pool. And we'd be like, why is your shirt on?
Yeah.
And he'd be like, how are you guys doing? We're like, why is your shirt on?
<Take it off. laughs>
And 30 minutes later, we're like, your shirt's still on. We don't know what's happening.
All right. Thank you guys so much
thank
for coming
you,
in.
Thank
so
you.
We're so excited for a new season.
Oh thank my God. You. Thank you.
Okay. I've been waiting to talk about this for a long time.
Me too.
Because I watched this episode a while ago.
Real Housewives of Atlanta.
I did not see that coming at all.
Which part?
Well, I did not see the cookie lady.
Oh, coming at the end?
No.
I feel like that is so crossing the line.
Yeah. I think Kenya is going extra hard into Tanya in this situation because hurt people hurt people. And I really think that what she's going through with Mark is making her so miserable that she's taking it out twofold on Tanya, because Tanya is one of the nicest, most positive, outgoing, friendly people. And I don't think the attacks that Kenya is making on her equal what Tanya did. So it just feels like it's coming from a much different place than the actual situation that they're fighting about.
Well, and so I felt when they sat down at this lunch that Kenya made her case for why she was upset about the wig. The
yeah.
whole thing being like, at the end of the day, you're trying to showcase to people that I was wearing a wig, therefore discrediting any of the time that I have worn my natural hair because that's my business. You're hurting my money.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the thing. If I'm making money celebrating the fact that women can wear their own hair, and if I decide on one day at any point in time in my life that I want to do a protective style, people don't remember the fact that you say, I'm going to wear it one day. They think, oh, she wears it. That's what it becomes. So now you're f-ing with my business. You're f-ing with how I feed my daughter and myself.
But Kenya, be transparent.
Right.
Like, you can have both really great hair because of your products and wear a wig sometimes.
Exactly. You can be a little bit more honest about it, and then you won't find yourself in one of these situations.
Right.
I mean, I will say I think that Tanya held her ground pretty well. And I think Eva said in her interview that she thought Tanya was, like, overwhelmed and, like, a deer in the headlights a bit. But I think Tanya was very reasonable and firm in what she was saying back to Kenya.
I think she was surprised. Like, I did get that sense a little bit of the headlight thing, because I think she thought they were going to sit down and it was going to be okay.
Yeah.
And then it was just so not okay.
Right.
I mean, Kenya called her a cunt.
Which, I know.
First of all, love that word. And I love when housewives use it because it becomes a whole thing. Like on Bev Hills, oh my God, don't
right.
ever call someone the C word.
Well, you really have to have a reason to use that word against someone.
If you're British, you just throw it around willy-nilly.
Right. But yeah, that word comes with some weight, and I don't know if Tanya necessarily deserved that.
Talk about you. The fact is you were a real...
I think we should do a bonus episode that's just dedicated to all the moments in Bravo history when someone was called a cunt.
That would be
I mean, we would have to bleep half of it.
Right.
But I think it would be amazing.
It'd still be great to revisit those particular moments.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Sarah. We got ideas over here.
If you guys agree.
All right. Tweet us the C
hashtag.
Word. Well, let's stick on Kenya for one more minute, because hello, that scene with Mark where they're planning the party, how awkward was that?
I think you have your tables here, bam bam bam, not too close to the bathroom. The food shouldn't be close to the bathroom.
It'll be tight for
that's 100. Like about that's 50 people versus 100 people.
Seats, you know,
the tables can't be near the bathroom, so everything has to be on this side.
I felt sad for her.
I know,
the way at the end she's like, you got it, dude, like this whole I'm your wife. Like,
yeah.
why can't you just say, thanks, babe?
And for him to still be in New York and just be very critical of the way she mothers and then talking over her at this thing, it's just like, I don't really feel the love there. And, we don't know what their relationship was like for a while. She wasn't on the show for a whole season, and we didn't get to experience that. But what we're seeing now is just, It's not pretty.
Yeah. Kenya, she threw Cynthia under the bus and was like, well, you know, Cynthia, what did she even accuse her of? Oh, she was like, well, Cynthia is the one who originally wanted to bring the cookie lady.
Right.
Up to you.
And Cynthia was like, no.
Like, no, that's not what I was trying to do.
Not at all.
But then it disappointed me. The cookie lady, I think, had a really amazing moment to be like, look, I am not here I'm just here to like share what happened to me.
Yeah.
Like, just so you know, woman to woman, like, take what you want from this info. But then she started getting aggressive with Tanya.
Right.
And let me tell you a story about that. I once in college had a boyfriend that was cheating on me. And the reason I found out was the girl he was cheating with came up to me and was aggressive with me about it.
And you're like, I am the victim here.
But it's just like, in what world are you getting an attitude with me? And I think it's this whole defensive thing. Like, yeah. You feel like you've done something wrong and you feel the need to like... I just wish women were better, okay?
Right, to each other.
Sometimes we could be better.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it would have been really amazing if Tanya, after the cookie lady had been brought in, if Tanya was like, well, you know what? Paul's here. And then he comes in and it's like, let's hear what Paul has to say about this situation, because he is the root of this problem at the end of the day, at least between, you know, cookie lady and Tanya.
And like, I don't know. I just felt that, let's say Paul didn't do anything wrong. But obviously the insinuation is he did.
Yeah.
And I just felt like the rest of the ladies were being so flippant about it. Like Cynthia coming back to the table to be like, did I leave my cookies here?
I know.
I'm back. I forgot my cookies. Thought I had some cookies. Oh, I got them in my purse. Never mind. I'm gone again.
Like Tanya is going to go home and cry right now. Yeah. And that's what you care about. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
I know.
It was weird.
I know it was weird. You know, at the end of the day, it seems like Tanya and Paul have been able to move on from this. She talks about it in the after show where she's like, Paul was pissed. There were holes in the cookie lady story and everything. So who knows what really went down that night? We may never get those answers. Maybe it'll come out at the reunion. There'll be some more conversation about it. But it all felt so messy, and it was Kenya being like peak Kenya. And then a few minutes later, you're feeling bad for her
right.
with Mark. You know, it's just like this difference in how she can be and how we can feel about her is so fascinating.
Yeah.
Portia and Dennis still going to counseling, dealing with the repercussions of his cheating, and now dealing with the engagement being back on. She's wearing the ring again. They're getting back into the life that they wanted with each other. But the hiccup that they're experiencing now is Portia's intimacy issues, which I feel like is pretty understandable given the timing of when she was hurt. Like, she was in her most vulnerable, being pregnant and needing the support of Dennis. And it was just really, really bad timing. Not that there's ever a good time to cheat, but like, that's not the one. And so it makes sense that she's sort of not ready to welcome back that intimacy that they once had. And just the way she was talking about it, I felt bad for her, being like, I just can't picture him laying down with me. Like, then he did that with someone else.
Yeah.
You know, that's really tough.
I can't imagine. There's nothing more that I hate in this world than a man who cheats on a pregnant lady.
Yeah.
Like, you did this to her.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is she not giving you enough attention in bed because she's making a human in her body?
Well, and she said that they were having sex at that time, too, so that wasn't even enough of an excuse. And now if it's still, if the sex life isn't back to where it used to be, that makes sense, and it's still probably going to take time.
Yeah.
And Dennis is like, well, it's not me. I'm not the only one who has to do work, but you're the one who fucked up, so you also have to be patient if you're really willing to put in the effort to get back in with Portia.
Yeah.
So give her the space.
Also, I don't think she has any work to do.
Right. She didn't fuck up.
She did the hard work. She took you back.
Yeah, okay? And had a baby.
Okay.
Mama Joyce.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exceptionally shady towards Todd. Are we surprised?
No.
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 I mean, it's just like, when we went back and watched season 5, episode 7 and 8, it was right around the time that Todd moved in with Candy. And Mama Joyce was like fully involved. She was like, I love him. This is great. I'm so happy. How the times have changed. Like, that's shady.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, understandable. It's like, your granddaughter.
What you want, but... Yeah.
But if that's the reason, it's sort of you're doing something good for the wrong reasons.
Right.
What about what we learn about Mike?
Well, which part? That he has only female friends? Well, that he cheated on his ex?
I think it's the cheating.
Yeah.
Because up to this point, I feel as though we've seen a very positive side of Mike.
Right.
Cynthia even says in her interview, at this point in both their lives, like, she got Mike at his best time. But looking back on some of the other relationships we've seen on the show, especially if we're just talking about Dennis and Portia and the sort of once a cheater, always a cheater thing, I wasn't so worried about Mike and Cynthia until this episode. Now I'm feeling a little bit more like, ooh.
I think, though, it's good that she's acknowledging it. Like in the interview when she was like, what would make me different than the other woman he's cheated on?
Yeah.
And I mean, there were issues with Peter.
Right.
So it's like she's not naive.
Everything seemed like it was coming together in almost a fairy tale way.
Yeah.
But that's not life.
No.
So I think learning what we did about Mike humanizes him even more to us, because when we see them together, they're not living in the same city. So every time we see them and they're filming, it's always like, ooh, can't wait to have sex with you. You know, they're always so flirtatious and they have really great chemistry. But there is a reality of the situation. It's they both come with a past and they're both trying to move forward with that together and stay on the same page. Next week on Atlanta, we're getting Eva's baby.
Whoop, whoop. Hope it's another cutie.
Which, like, I can't believe the cameras were filming at that time. That's great timing. And they have to call Dr. Jackie or something because she's about to give birth right there in the restaurant.
Oh.
Ooh.
Crazy.
Do you think you could deliver a baby if someone was on the phone, like a doctor was on the phone with you and they were like, okay, Megan, this is what you have to do?
I think I could do it without a doctor on the phone.
Oh, damn.
Here's why. I helped my dog birth 7 puppies.
That's right.
But also, women were made to do this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just get on all fours and just grin and
bear it.
Get on
all fours?
I think that is the way they used to do it.
Yeah. she just looked to Sarah to be like, can you confirm? So I was like,
It seems more natural to me to do it that way.
I did actually take like a sex health class in college. And I remember we talked about various birthing methods. And one of them was like, doesn't it make more sense to probably, I don't know, stand up while you're giving birth?
Yeah.
Let gravity help do the work. And I was like, that does actually make a lot more sense. Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay,
let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
Well, people have been complaining on social media. Where's James? Where's Raquel? Like, we're not getting enough James this season. I miss him. We got James this episode.
I know. It's not just people on social media. It's me, too.
I know. You, too. But, you know, so it was nice to have him back, especially in rare James form, where he's just like, Raquel, why aren't you at my show?
Mm-hmm.
Getting her in trouble.
I know. I'm very grateful to have him back.
What was your rose?
My rose was from Real Housewives of New Jersey, and it was when Jackie called her son, and he had just lost, like, a big championship game. And he's, like, crying, and he just goes, it fucking sucks. And she didn't even get mad at him in that moment because I think she knew he needed the mom in her. And she's just like, don't curse.
Oh, baby.
What'd you say? You don't need to curse.
It came so naturally.
Oh, yeah. He said it just like, he sounded like a little adult when he said it. Okay, what was your thorn?
Okay, my thorn was related to Real Housewives of Atlanta. When Mike and Cynthia are having this whole friends night at his place, and he's talking about the fact that he cheated on his wife and how she wasn't the love of his life.
Yeah.
And then it's like his daughter, who is a product of that relationship, is sitting right there.
Yeah.
And she goes off and sobs. And like, I totally understand that. Like, that to me was more upsetting than the whole Mike cheated on his past partner. People make mistakes. And I know that he said, that was a misstep. It's like, that's a really big misstep. You don't, yeah. In front of your daughter. It just reminded me, like, Lamar Odom posted an Instagram recently with his new girlfriend, and he was like, this is the first woman who's been able to make me want to be faithful. Like, oh, something God. Like that. And it's just like, you piece of shit.
Right.
Like,
well, to say that in such a public way.
And it just, it's all disrespectful. Like, they did nothing wrong. Yeah. You're the problem.
Right. That's a great point. I mean, to see his daughter walk away the way she did, I mean, she's only 17. It's so uncomfortable because the older you get, the more you realize your parents are people too, and they have flaws and they've messed up and all of that. But at 17, you still don't really have that concept, I don't think. And maybe he just forgot she was in the room. I don't know. But it just, it was really cringeworthy. But I did appreciate that he went right up to her room to talk to her afterwards. Cynthia was like, can I come with you? She wanted to be a part of that conversation too and help any way she could. But I mean, that poor girl was just sobbing.
Yeah.
Like, you, there's really no fix for that. Like, no. What's been said has been said.
What was your thorn?
My thorn was also from Real Housewives of New Jersey, and it was right at the end of the episode, the dig that Margaret takes at Jennifer about not having a real job.
When I tell Jen, a child doesn't have that capability to be able to see how my mommy's work is hard.
I didn't know Jen worked.
I a little bit thought it was below the belt in a sense that if it had been anyone else who was a stay-at-home mom, I don't think Margaret would have said it. But I think because it was Jennifer, she went there. And, you know, for Jennifer to then be like, I work harder than, you know, than she does and whatever. Like, I didn't necessarily agree with Jennifer's reaction to it, but I just don't think you should say that about someone who is a stay-at-home mom, especially with as many kids as Jennifer has.
Again, women could be better, okay, to each other. It just... respect each other's life choices.
Right.
Why is it a competition?
Exactly. And I know Margaret was just reacting too to Jennifer getting in the middle of her conversation with Teresa. Margaret was trying to bond with her, all of that. But I just felt like she hit below the belt and it wasn't really called for in that moment, despite what she may think. If she said it in her interview, I'd be like, well, whatever. But saying it directly to Jennifer, I don't know.
Yeah.
Didn't sit well with me.
Not cool.
Not cool.
Next week, we have interviews with Stassi Schroeder from Vanderpump Rules and Kyle Cook and Amanda Batula from Summer House.
So you want to be president? My podcast is about what it takes to get the nomination. 6 episodes, 6 timeless themes that separate the few winners from the many losers.
So you want to be president with Chris Matthews. Subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me.